Psalm 119, if you will, and we're going to take a look at verse 169 and following, and I'm going to be sharing that. But while you're finding that in your Bible, I'll take a few personal moments. I can't help but to be overcome by the prayer advances, both for the men and the women. Several decades ago when I met Harold and Debbie and the little children, Harold started sharing with me something about this vision of something called a prayer advance, and hadn't been birthed yet. And Harold, I want to thank you and Debbie for being sensitive. I reckon you know God put his blessing on this whole process. In fact, I was thinking today for all of you ladies, if you haven't been told it yet, it's quite dangerous to come to a prayer advance if you've been satisfied with the life you have been living. Because God's in the process of doing something with lives at a prayer advance, changing lives, blessing lives, and carrying that even further. Psalm 119, if you will, verse 169, is a part of the answer of a situation we're going to look into tonight. Psalm 119, verse 169, "Let my cry come near before you, O Lord." Let my cry come near before you, O Lord. And you say, okay, what's that all about? Let's go down to 176. "I have gone astray like a lost sheep." Psalm 169 is a part of the answer. Psalm 176 is the problem stated. I know none of you have ever gone astray from the Lord. All of you came one day and you received Christ as your Savior. You got your sins forgiven. You went home happy and you were glad that you are now a child of God, your sins were forgiven, and heaven was assured, and that settled everything else. And so you've never had this problem that shows up in verse 176 about going astray. But the reason I'm sure that the Lord wants us to study that tonight is all of you have friends who've gone astray, and God's equipping you to go help get them back, right? You got the idea? Now, before I get into the text of the study of what we're going to look at tonight, I want to introduce my taking a look at the text by reading a rather extensive little thing, and I'm going to, so you're going to have to pay attention. I'm not going to be looking at you. I'm going to be looking at my notes, and I'm going to be reading something, and I hardly ever do that in the process of a sermon, but I want to read this and explain to you what I'm doing in order to get to the Bible text of this problem that we do recognize that quite frequently, more often than we'd like to see, we suffer from the problem of going astray from God. Now, I'm not talking about losing your salvation. I'm talking about just getting out of fellowship, telling God to mind his own business every now and then, go sit in the corner until you call for him again. That's the kind of thing about going astray from God. Now, let me start reading. "For over 57 years, I've been listening to a great variety of testimonies that speak to the issue of being astray from God, of not being in his will, of being disobedient, of not being in touch with him, of not taking time to learn his word, of developing attitudes that are not in keeping with Christian character, of unsolved broken relationships, of developing so-called habits that are contrary to Christ, and of emotionally experiencing the damage that such things cause." I hope you could follow that. I don't read well anymore, but were you able to follow? Or do I need to read it? Say you were able to follow. I don't have time to read it again. All right. Now let me go to the next paragraph. There are several paragraphs like this. "It is a concern with which most of us are familiar. We have seen this concern in others. We probably have seen it in ourselves. We go astray. We play the prodigal. So I have taken the essence of these testimonies to which I've been listening for 57 years, and I've interpreted them and edited them and mixed them in this summary expression of a sad testimony. Hopefully it is not yours. It is here is our help from the Word of God. But if that problem is here, here's our work from the..." So I've taken all these testimonies I've been listening to for 57 years, and individuals, men and women and boys and girls and pastors and evangelists and missionaries and church members and drunkards and drug addicts and all of these just come in and pull all of this thing out. I need to get in touch with God. I've gotten away. Or they come in and say, listen, Pastor, I'm away from God and I don't want to come close again. I just want to be done with him. I'm going to put him on the back row and that's going to be it. So I've taken these kind of testimonies and statements and I've worked them into, I've just sort of consolidated them into one testimony. That now that testimony that comes out of that consolidation is what I'm going to read now. I know this is totally confusing. I've never done anything like this anyway myself. It's confusing to me. So I just want you to listen to it. So I've consolidated it, and it goes like this. I once enjoyed God and all of his benefits. The waters were still and the pastures were green. My soul seemed to be restored, and there was a banquet table of the goodness of God put before me. Then something happened. God did not seem near anymore. My focus changed. My attitude changed. My daily practices changed. It seemed that the world within me and the world around me changed. I felt out of it, out of touch, away from home, away from myself, and away from God. I knew the Bible says that the turning away of sin by the simple shall slay them. I did not want that kind of destiny. And then I heard the testimony of an honest person who said, I have gone astray like a lost sheep. That was me, and I did not want that condition. I wanted to go home again, to be with my Father again, my Heavenly Father. I needed his peace again. I needed his assurance again. I needed his cleansing again, and I needed his embrace again, and I needed his love again, and I needed his truth again, and I needed him. The Bible describes a path of straying as well as a path of obeying. For the ways of men and women are before the eyes of the Lord, and he ponders all of his goings. Ladies, that ought to be a very frightening statement on one hand and a very rewarding statement on the other. I don't mean to sound critical of you who have prayed this prayer, but you've heard a lot of people say, Lord, please be with me. I want to tell you, God says you can't get away from me. Everywhere you go, I'm there. That's a blessing. That's a thrill. Unless we've been trying to hide the secretness of our going astray. The Bible describes a path of the straying as well as the path of obeying. The choice is ours. For the ways of man are before the Lord, and he ponders all of his goings. Now, I hope you're able to follow that combined testimony of hundreds and thousands of people. I just tried to put it together so you would know that somewhere in all of that, I read a statement that probably applies to every one of you individually. This whole matter of being bent out of shape with God, out of touch with God on a daily basis, not wanting to be around, taking a chance by coming to a prayer advance and saying, God, I know I need you, but I'm afraid to go because you may get on my case and I may get under an uncomfortable feeling and I may have to. And you know the whole process of all of that. I go through all of that and I come to a question that needs to be asked. And I wonder when I go through that testimony, has my Father in heaven left any instruction for his children who go astray? And the answer to that is a big, you spell it, three-letter word. Let's try it again. Kindergarten level spelling class. And the answer to that, has my Father in heaven left any instructions to his children when they go to astray? The answer is
yes.
Keep that in mind. We're going to study, if I discipline myself properly, we're going to study 12 major things that God encompassed in that Y-E-S. I've got a solution for you who understand what it's like to come to know God, to enjoy his blessings, his presence forevermore, and then understand one day something has me off track, out of touch, ill-feeling toward God, And I really need to get back. Go back to verse 160, excuse me, go back to, if you will, to the last 176, Psalm 119. Here is the shout and the cry, I have gone astray. Now, what are the solutions? Follow carefully, as we mentioned, simply, and this is the simplicity of the Word of God, the quick application of the Word of God. You know, for those of us who've been to school and studied and tried to impress you with how intelligent we are about all of these things, sometimes we get a little upset with God. God, why don't you make it more complicated so I could sound more sophisticated? But God doesn't do that. God comes right down on my level and says, here's the reality of what we need, Robert, and all you need to do is read it out of the Bible. Solution number one for those of us who've gone astray is this. We need to get our cry and our supplication before the Lord. It's written very clearly in the Bible. You can see it in verse 169. Let my cry come near before you, O Lord. It's a very simple thing. Now, one of the things that will stop the cry of my cry coming before God is that I quit crying. I get satisfied in my life of being astray from God. But if I understand something has happened and God and I aren't together like I used to be with Him and He with me, then if that doesn't prompt the crying of a broken heart and a troubled soul and a confused spirit, something else is bad, bad wrong. If you know you're living where you ought not be living, thinking what you ought not be thinking, doing what you ought not be doing, not getting word about it, you got a major, major problem. You say, Alderman, get on the positive stuff. Get away from the negative. Well, we've got to deal with the negative before we understand the answer to the problem. Let my cry come before you. Do you know the Bible lists about 7 or 8 specific things where God basically says this? Listen, if you've got this problem in your life and you pray, I'm not listening. We get the idea that God's up there anxious. Why don't you pray? Why don't you do something? Why don't you come? And God wants us to pray. He does. But we probably don't want Him to listen too much to that. And here is the solution that we have to look at in dealing with our astrayness. You know, I've never been to a prayer advance, men or women, in which there has not been a good number of people that have dealt with this problem openly. In the crowd they're in, with the family they left home, with the pastor that they have. Because God is in the business of taking us and drawing us into the whole spirit of coming back into His fellowship. Let my cry come before you, O God. Now that's the first major step that the man who got into that terrible position of being astray from God and he realized that I got to cry about this. I can't take it lightly. I got to take it seriously. I can't cut out the emotional damage of God and me being on the outs with each other. I can't take the idea that I chose something other than God to make God second or third place in my life and in my living. That's a terrible thing to think about. And God, listen, I'm crying because of it, and I want to deal with it. And I don't want to deal with it right now. So it's this matter of letting my cry come before you. The second solution that the Bible gives is this. We need to get our understanding about all of this from the Word of God. Look at it very carefully in verse 169. Bible says it this way, let my cry come before you. Give me understanding according to your word. Now, I hope you can listen to this one very carefully. Our highfalutin, sophisticated, false academic ideas in life today is, wait a minute, we have progressed beyond our need for God. I know back 100 years ago you people needed God because we hadn't come up with this idea. I know people needed God back then because we haven't come up with this pill or this psychiatric or et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And do you know how many individuals, the first thing we do when we know something's coming loose and going undone in our daily lives, we have a tendency to start looking for a human excuse to explain it and a human explanation to get rid of it. You know what I mean? And here is our situation. As our churches have become increasingly biblically illiterate, even church members, when we get astray from God and the ticker's not ticking and the prayers are not praying and the sins are not confessing, instead of getting our understanding from the Word of God, we find it a whole lot easier to get our understanding from the trash piles of the world. And that may be the major dark spot in our life of getting to deal with the matter that I'm astray from God. Now, what's the first way we deal with this matter of being astray? You call it out loud. I want you to learn how to answer these, okay? First answer of dealing with my being astray from God is? Second answer is? I'll start the sentence and you finish it. Getting my
understanding
from? Not from the local kind of human fix. Not from the pill. Not from the entertainment. Not from the vacation. Not from the novel. Not from the TV. Not from the internet. Not with some diluted kind of personality. But from the... You know what you're going to have to do if you're going to deal with going astray by getting your understanding from the Word of God? Guess what you're going to have to do? You're going to have to spend more time in the Word of God. You're going to have to spend less time with the toys and the trash that the world of ungodliness puts in your platter every day. And you say, Alderman, you're getting too serious. Maybe so. But if every one of you could guarantee me tonight that you've never been astray from God and you aren't tonight, we can go out and have a picnic and rejoice, right? But I just got a feeling you've got some friends out there that need to know this as well. Number three, the lesson of dealing with the matter of getting back. Number three, verse 170, we need to get our deliverance according to the Word of God. We're dealing with some heavy stuff here. Look at it in verse 170. Deliver me. And then you fill in the blanks. According to... I don't know how we can break this down any simpler. Lord, I know I'm astray, but I've heard Sunday school stuff all of my life. I've had Bible verses memorized. I attend church. I sing in the choir. I teach a Sunday school class. I'm thinking seriously about even reading a little bit more in the Bible. But I need to understand that my deliverance is not from this worldly system, not by that worldly system. It is from this worldly system. And when I come to understand that I'm a person in need because I've gone astray from God, I need to get my understanding from the Word of God, and I need to get my deliverance according to the Word of God. And that's why I have to know in this Bible, Lord, what does that mean? What does it sound like? How do I relate to what you want to do to free my life? I'm captive. I'm in bondage. I'm afflicted. I'm enslaved. And I don't understand how I can get free. And that simply means, my Bible puts it this way in a very clear fashion, let my supplication come before you. Deliver me according to your Word. If God said to you tonight, I know you're enslaved. I know you're astray. I need to be delivered from that that is holding me captive. Maybe it's a thought. Maybe it's a broken relationship. Maybe it's an attitude that you had with your parents. Maybe it's a situation with your children or your mate. Or maybe it's an addiction of what you watch with your eyes or listen to with your ears or go to with your feet. And you've not really been willing to call out, God, I'm captive to that. You just don't think you are because, after all, you still sing in the choir, you still teach a Sunday school class, you still have a Bible in your house. I know a lot of Christians that are enslaved and do not understand what that enslavement is. It's an enslavement of being astray from the God who loves you, who gives you understanding, who listens to your prayers. It's enslavement from that enemy that captures our mind and our attention. And one of the great things that happens in prayer advances is that we get focused on those kind of things and we cry out, Lord, I need your deliverance. You think by the time you wake up in the morning, you can remember those first three things. If you can, let's go to number four. We must affirm. Now, here's where there's a little change right here, and I want you to listen to it carefully. We pick it up in 171, in verse 171 of 119. My lips shall utter praise. So we come through all of that, and finally we're beginning to get on the edge of victory, and we affirm our commitment to praise. You know, when you're astray from God, you have a little trouble saying, God, just want to stop right now and thank you. I just want to let you know how much I really appreciate you giving your son to die for my sins. I just want to let you know how much I appreciate the fact that you justified me. And I thank you that you're teaching me. I thank you that you're patient with me. I thank you that you're teaching me how to love my family. And I thank you for all of that, Lord. And Father, I want to be reminded that there's not a moment that goes by in life that I don't have an opportunity to praise you. And I want to thank you for forgiving me when I did not give you the praise. So you know what? Getting back to God is a process of coming back to God and saying, God, I just thought I'd drop in and say, thanks. You've been good to me. I want to thank you that you listened to my cry. I want to thank you that you taught me out of your word. I want to thank you that you delivered me from the captivity. I want to thank you that you made all of that possible because, Lord, I don't know that I ever understood exactly what it meant for time and for eternity and for people I'm influencing. I don't know exactly what it meant just to somewhat be estranged from you, but, Lord, I'm back to thank you that you're bringing me back. You're bringing me home again. Father, you know how when I was astray from you, all of a sudden I realized that I wanted to come home. I wanted to have your heart and your mind. I wanted to be on your team, and I wanted to know you were with me. Lord, I've gone astray. Seek me. Seek your servant. That's the fourth one. Number five, we need to acknowledge the need to be taught. This is somewhat a duplication of another matter. We need to acknowledge a need to be taught. Verse 171. I'll start over at the beginning of verse 171, if you will. My lips shall utter praise when you have taught me your statutes. If you ever get the idea that you may be on the verge of beginning to go astray from God, may I challenge you to think very quickly and push the button of saying, wait a minute. Call your name and say, I know that I'm losing my contact with God. I know that I'm getting outside of His will, away from His power, out from the understanding of His love for me, and I need to do something about it. And here is what I need to do. God, I know you've taught me in the past how not to go astray from you, but it seems like I'm forgetting that. Now, God, teach me again. Teach me. Generally, one of the first problems of going astray is that we have a tendency to get attracted to the things that are pulling us away from God. Maybe a television story, maybe a book that is not exactly pleasing to God, maybe just an absenteeism from your prayer time. Maybe just getting a little critical about other Christians who are shining their light and you don't like their light shining when you know yours is growing dim. Maybe somebody muffed you in the back hall of the church. Maybe you got dissatisfied. And that list just keeps going on and on and on. In fact, if I stopped my talking tonight and just said, I want each of you to stand up and quickly name five things that really miffed you with God, I would imagine all of us could do that. And that's an unfortunate thing. But when we get to that point, when something comes into our lives, and we start realizing this thing's getting a grip on my life, and I'm this characteristic in my life was pleasing to God, and by crackers, I've sort of let that one go down the tube. And this thing over here, I know I should have dealt with that in a different way, but I thought I put it off until tomorrow. And that's when I need to come back to that Father in heaven and say, Lord, listen, I'm frightened. These things are creeping into my life. I'm beginning to develop a bad attitude about my husband. I'm beginning to think back to when I was a child and I really developed a bad attitude, and I still have it toward my mama or my daddy. And God, I need to be taught again. I need to listen to what I learned when I was younger. I need to listen to what I did when I was hungry for you and for your truth. Lord, I need to be taught again. I don't know if that's ever been your case. I think I do know this. I think I know that every one of us at one time or 20 or 40 hundred have been tempted to go astray. And we've probably let it pass of saying, God, I don't like the way I'm headed. Teach me again. Recall for me again. I know I won't take time to do that, but yeah, I will. I've been over the last few weeks, two of the former students at our Roanoke Valley Christian Schools, I didn't remember them, I didn't recognize them when I saw them, but they recognized me and they came over and they said, I was a student at your Christian school. And we talked a little bit, and neither of these, to my knowledge, knew each other, but I just said, well, I hope that school was a blessing to you, helped to you, et cetera, doing the public relations bit, you know. And they said, Pastor Alderman, you know what I remember the most? And I thought in my mind, surely I know what you remember. It's my sermons. They're so outstanding and all of that. I mean, what more could I think? It wasn't that at all, praise the Lord. But every one of them came back and they said, you know, I remember the Bible verses that I memorized when I was, teach me, Lord. Do we need to be taught again? And that's the danger when we fail to push that button, when we realize we are on the verge, if not involved in the process, of going astray again. Some of us in this building tonight need to catch ourselves and realize that's my step in this, my pilgrimage. I need to push the button, getting my cry, getting my word, my deliverance, my teaching from God again. Let me go to the next one, if you will. We need to affirm a witness to our belief. Verse 172, very carefully. Follow it in your Bible, if you will. My tongue shall speak of your word. Simple, isn't it? My tongue shall speak of your word. Let me make some application out of that one. I need to be a witness to my belief. Here's where I want to make the application tonight. God's speaking to some of your lives. You know it. I know it. Some of your friends might know it. God's speaking to you. And you're sensing an urge on the inside to do what the Bible teaches us to do. Tell it out. Bear witness to it. That's what the verse says that we just read. Let me read it again so you'll understand what we're talking about. My tongue shall speak of your word. And so the issue of this matter is, hey, I realize I'm drifting, but I don't want anybody to know it. I realize that I've offended people in my drifting, but I don't want anybody to know that that's the problem. And you clam up. And you fail to deal with it as thoroughly as you should deal with it. I know I've been there. I've been there. But I want to tell you, God has great process of delivering us when our tongue expresses what our belief really is. And that's what that verse says. My tongue bears witness of your word. I wonder if God spoke to you tonight and caused you to realize that the danger of going astray from God may be the very reason God brought you to this prayer advance. I know that I'm going astray. I know that this part has gone out of my life, and frightfully so, this part has come in to my life. And it's confusing my whole system. I'm not what I used to be. I've changed in the wrong direction. Now, Father, deal with me. That may be why God. Now, if that is why God brought you to this place, let me tell you what would be very, very helpful for you and very strengthening for you. And you really need to take notice of this. And that is, my tongue shall speak of your word. You know what? Something was taking place in my life. I didn't understand what it was. I was growing miserable with it. I was becoming addicted to it. And all of a sudden, I did a very foolish thing, something I never thought I'd be doing. I went to one of those prayer advances. And at the prayer advance, the Lord started opening my heart to His Word about stopping the process of getting estrayed from God. I don't know if estrayed is a word, but it is now. I just used it. I don't know whether that's why God brought me to that prayer advance or not. Well, won't you go ahead and deal with the issue and then tell somebody tonight what God's doing in your life. You know what you may run into? You may say, I'm so glad you told me that. That's what God's doing in my life also, but I was afraid to tell it out. But we need to talk these things out, friends. And I didn't pick up that from some psychology book. I picked it up from this verse. What verse? 1:7-2. My tongue shall speak of your word. Here's the need I went with. Here's the solution I ran into. Here's the outworking of what happened. My tongue shall speak of your word. We affirm our witness to our belief. Number 7. Let's take a look at it in 1:7-3. We need to request help. Simply to request help. Look at it in 1:7-3, if you will. Let your hand help me. Let your hand help me. And then watch that little phrase right after that. You got it open in verse 1:7-3. Let your hand help me, for I have chosen your precepts. Now, precepts is another word for the Word of God, the statutes of God, the law of God, the judgment of God. You can take the word precepts and apply it to any of that. Let your hand help me, for I have chosen your precepts. Now, let me tell you how that applies. I have an option in life, and God gives us options. He makes us people of moral responsibility and choices. So I'm going away from God, and I'm understanding that the things that I loved in life, I'm forfeiting. The things I hated in life, I'm now beginning to love, and I need help. And so I turn to these first several things we've already studied, and then I say, God, help me. Now, you know, that means several things. Number one, it means that I've turned my back on everything else that presented itself as my assistance. That means that I turned away from all of the gimmicks and the gadgets and the stuff and the things and the clutter of this human pagan life. And I said, God, I've now understood the process of how I got astray from you. But I've come to understand something else. And I have, in the midst of all the trash piles of all the solutions, of all of the humanity and the secular paganism of this whole society, I've turned my back on that and I have chosen, I've made my choice. God, I'm looking to you from here on in and you only here on in. Now I'm tempted to ask if that makes sense. Not the way I explained it, but the way God said it. Does it make sense that the God who created me and who understands me, and we already read that verse, who follows me with every step of my life, that He's got more interest in really my good than all of the trash piles of life that want to come in and say, Bob, why don't you turn God loose a little while and try our newfangled 21st century stuff? You don't need God anymore. He's outdated. You've got the internet. What more you need? Etc. That sounds facetious, I know. It sounds childish. But I see so many people today who are taking all of this newfangled trash pile of American paganism and saying, God, I don't need your precepts anymore. I'm trashing your precepts. But here's what my Bible says. I need to request help. And I need the help from God. And I need to tell God, God, I'm asking you for help because I've chosen your precepts. Number 8, we need to define our personal desires. If you look at it in verse 1:74, I have longed for your salvation, O Lord, and your law is my delight. Some of you love the music that goes with this particular verse. As the heart pants after the water brook, so God, my soul longs after you. My soul thirsts for God, the living God. Is that true? You see, if you have turned to him and said, God help, I've chosen your precepts, he'll fill your desires and your compassion and your appetite with that. If you feel yourself going astray, you need to be careful about your personal desire. Just take a quick inventory, if you will. What is the one thing you love the most and cherish the most and refuse to give up? What is the one thing that is fighting against your love for that if you are in Christ? Go back and read it again. I have longed for your salvation, O Lord. Your law is in my delight. I'm going a bit fast, I realize that. But I want you to know how deep these things are, how meaningful they are. And I would say if we could plug in these things in the life of every church member in America, I would recommend to you, and I would think that we would see a total change in our culture if Christians began to apply these simple truths about the matter of the battle of the enemy against us staying in tune, in oneness with God our Father. I forget what number that was. I'm going to go to number, that was number what? Eight. I apologize. Number nine must be good. I was about to skip it. Oh, it is good. Verse 175. Here it is. We need to request life for our souls. Look at it in verse 175, if you will. Let my soul live, and I shall praise you. That's a simple prayer, isn't it? Lord, please let my soul live. I feel I'm dying on the inside. I don't sense the living water anymore. I don't see the light anymore. It's getting dim again. Lord, listen, let my soul live. What an open heart and an open mind to say, God, I'm dying. I'm dying. Lord, let my soul live. I don't know how to make that one complicated. It's just a simple thing. God, my life is in your hands, and you are my life. Now, I'm dying on the inside. I need to deal with something. Lord, let my soul live. Now, let's go quickly to number 10. We need to be openly honest about our condition. Openly honest. And this is where it gets tough. Verse 176. I've gone astray like a lost sheep. We all know the story and the history. We know sheepology. We know that sheep are, what did we say, dumb? Yeah, thought that was a word, but I've been told not to use that word in public. But I've gone astray. Lord, how dumb could I get to go astray, etc. We need to be openly about our condition. That's hard to do. Here's what the verse says. Look at it again. I have gone astray like a lost sheep. But then he says, but I don't forget your commandments. Lord, every time I go astray like a lost sheep, I feel sort of stupid in addition to dumb. Because I'm going astray on one hand, and on the other hand, I forget what you told me to do and what you told me not to do, and I ignored all of that, and now I'm in the mess, and I'm crying out for some help. So, Lord, would you step in on this situation, and let's take care of it right away? I've gone astray like a lost sheep. I don't know if any of you ladies ever go shopping, but there's a store by the name of JCPenney. Now, the only reason I tell you that is certainly not to get you to go there, but I love Mr. JCPenney. I don't know if you did. And he tells a story that really blessed my life. And I think this would be good and appropriate for ladies' prayer advance. So to make sure I get the story right, I'm going to read a little bit about this. It's this matter of being honest about our condition. J.C. Penney tells the story of the first time he helped a straying man come to Christ. It was in one of the rescue missions. The men were singing a hymn which was a favorite of his mother. Keep that in mind. Mamas, it's good to sing good music to your children, by the way. The men were singing at the rescue mission. The men were singing a hymn which was one of the favorites of J.C. Penney's mother. And that hymn was, "My Faith Looks Up to Thee." Nearby, Mr. Penney noticed a man who was much affected by the hymn. And Mr. Penney went to him and said, Mr. Penney said of him, he was in a sorry condition. I mean, you know people like that. You've seen them. You probably may have said, I've been that way myself. He was in a sorry position. And Mr. Penney, you remember now, this guy was a very wealthy man, etc., but he was in a rescue mission. He was willing to speak what he believed. And so Mr. Penney moved over to the man and said, "That was one of my mother's favorites. Did your own mother happen to be fond of it?" And the man was still crying. "The eyes he turned to me," Mr. Penney said, "were soul sick," said Mr. Penney. As the man said, "My mother used to sing in church. The choir, I can hear them. My faith looks up to thee." The music went on. "While life's dark maze I tread and griefs around me spread, be thou my God and guide. Bid darkness turn to day, wipe sorrow's tears away, nor let me ever stray from thee aside. Let my cry come to you, O God. Let my knowledge come from your word," etc., etc. Do some of us need to deal with that tonight? Number 11, we need to be humbly dependent upon our shepherd's care. Look at it in verse 176. "Seek thy servant." Seek thy servant. We put a lot of attention today on the human side of seeking, but here is the one we need to cry to God. "Seek me. I'm in trouble. I need help. I'm astray." And then that final note, if you will, we need to remind ourselves of the commandment of God. Verse 176, the last part, "I do not forget your commandments." The choice is ours. God gave us that choice. With choice comes responsibility. With properly exercised responsibility through the choices that God makes for us, we follow the pattern of God to come back to Him. You say, "Alderman, you've come in tonight rather presumptuous that some of us have gone astray." That may be true. If that offends you and you're innocent of that need, I apologize. But I do not apologize for giving you the answers out of the Word of God. Because sometime before next Sunday, you're going to meet somebody that needs what you heard tonight. And you'll be able to share it with them. But before you can, if you are astray from God, you're going to have to deal with it yourself. Now's a good place and time to do that. I don't know any of your spiritual condition, and you don't know mine. But I do know this, the Word of God is powerful. I cannot forget His commandments. I've come to love them so much, I never want to forget a single one of them. I love it when people call me a legalist, and I just simply tell them, "Well, that's a whole lot more comfortable than being an illegalist." Especially when it comes to the law of God. "I cannot forget your commandments." I don't want to forget them. I want to apply them. Let's turn our hearts to our Father, please. My Father, thank you that you know our need. Thank you that you hear our cry. Thank you that you teach your truth. Thank you that you bring us into an understanding of faithful response. Deliver us from the darkness of straying from you. Deliver us into the victory of unhindered love, faithful testimony, victorious relationships. Deliver us from the trash piles we brought on ourselves and threw ourselves into. Refresh us with your presence. Give to us the courage of decision making is my prayer. May I ask you to remain quietly, prayerfully, and not be distracted by looking around, but look inward. And let's take a moment to look upward. God, I've sensed some things in my own life tonight I did not want to confront. I recognize some things in my own life that I had refused to recognize. I've made some choices that I did not think were bad, but they turned me away from that which is excellent in Christ. And Father, that's a sin in my life, and I ask you to forgive it. Seek your servant, Father. I want to be your servant. I want to come back home to my heavenly Father. Seek me, Father. Forgive me, cleanse me, protect me. And grant, Father, that as you do that in me, you will build that tremendous wall of protection around my family and around my friends. Would you just take a moment now and make sure that you deal with that matter? Some of you may need to come to this altar and simply kneel and pray as a physical response to an inward decision. You feel free to do that right now. You come and kneel and pray. And then you may get up and return to your seat. You may want to just turn to a friend and say, tonight, I need to let you know that I'm dealing with being astray from God. I don't think I've gone too far yet, but I really need to turn around and head in the right direction. And there's this thing I need to deal with. There's this situation I need to change. There's this cry I need to cry. There's this prayer I need to pray. God's a God of great mercy. He loves you as his child. I recognize that some of you are not his child. You're religious, but you've never trusted Christ to be your Savior. You don't understand all of this matter of our concern about Christians being astray because you've never come to Christ. And you know it. Maybe nobody else knows you never have, but you know it. And some of you need to make that decision tonight of saying, Christ, thank you for loving me when I was so unlovable. I want to come to you tonight. I want to ask you to be my Savior. I want to open the door of my life so you can come in. Forgive me, Father, and let me call you Father forevermore.